This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we'll drink a toast in the weekend with a shot of the day. Then at 5:07, it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
As we celebrate the last weekend of daylight on a Bad Choice Friday with Lynn.
Did you say this is a dude test?
Yeah. I think they're English.
Okay. Still, to me, it sounds like a 15-year-old girl. The voice.
What format played this? Was this like an alternative song, or was this on rock stations?
It could not have been on rock stations.
Is this like a mix station kind of tune?
I mean, I feel like rock stations played it too.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I would not know how
this
to describe
is a chick.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
This part is a chick.
Okay, all right.
But the guy saying, don't steal my sunshine.
That's the dude.
Basically, they were at a music festival and they were having a blast.
Okay.
That's all it is. Like, don't steal my sunshine. And also, if you know enough, you know about sunshine.
Let and steal my...
So it's not about sunshine.
Let and steal my sunshine, taking on Katrina and the Waves on a Bad Choice Friday. Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine.
Take it on Lynn, steal my drugs.
Vote now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink and toast with a shout of the day. Programming note here. Today we were talking about the big Porter Party.
Porter Party.
That's going on at the Black Raven Brewing Facility in Woodinville 1 week from tomorrow, November the 2nd, from 4 to 8. Your first chance to try the Men's Room Ola Days Porter. I mentioned earlier, we'll probably have the list of locations where you can also find the beer on draft, as it's only available on draft. And Castle said that they are still finalizing the complete list.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have that for you next week. If not, just head on up to Black Raven and hang out with us. The party's absolutely free. It's from
you know where it will be for sure.
That's exactly it. Drink a beer with us, and then eventually when we get the full list, we'll let you know all the locations. On our question, good or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
Well, now Katrina. Did you know what that band looks like?
She's very attractive.
Yeah.
No, she's...
Really?
She's attractive.
All these... I've never...
Well, I mean, granted, she's 60-some years old right now. I'm not saying that doesn't make you attractive.
I'll be honest. I have never met a white Katrina until I just looked at this woman.
Really?
You know, Susanna Hoff's still good-looking. Melinda Carlisle's still good-looking. So, bands from that era, yeah. You can do it. The dudes are ugly.
You got kind of a long face.
Yeah, that was big back then, though. Think about Carly Simon.
She had big everything.
Big that was teeth, when long big. Face in fashion back in the 80s, 90s.
Out here looking like the moon.
Good or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
You know, this is sad, but look, and you hear different sounds throughout the course of your life, but more recently, the one that always comes to mind for me. So a couple of years ago, I'm getting something removed from the side of my head. I got to spend the night in the hospital. Fine. It is what it is, right? I'm just there for observation. But I'm sharing the room with this other guy, and there's a curtain between us. I never saw what this man looks like, but I could hear him. So I don't know what his issue was. I do not know why he was in the hospital. I don't know. And I never bothered to ask. But, you know, nighttime shows up. You're trying to get some sleep, man. And this guy, probably every 45 minutes, he is having some gastrointestinal distress is the best way to put it.
Yep.
And he's got a bedpan, and he's got diarrhea, man. And it's just... Picture taking, like, pancake batter and dumping it onto a cookie sheet, right? Just the splatter. It's one thing when it hits water it's different when you just hit a metal or plastic surface, man. So I can just hear this stuff hitting and hitting, and then he's making all these horrible noises himself out of it.
Right.
He's not feeling good, right? So I just hear him with the, and then just a, and this was all freaking night long, man. And like, I understood there's nothing he could do, but in my mind, I'm like, please, God, make this stop. This is awful. And the stink is coming up and all that. And the guy, he even apologized on the other side of the curb. And he's like, I'm sorry, man. I was like, brother, I know there's nothing you can do about this. Neither of us are happy about it. But that sound will haunt me until the day I die.
These are not good. None of these are good. But here's a couple more. Hitting that deer at 40 miles per hour.
Oh.
That made a sound unlike anything I've ever heard before between my car and the sound of that deer. Another. When I accidentally stuck a finger into a deli slicer, I found out that I make the same exact noise as bologna.
Oh, God. Yeah.
At a strongman competition, me and my partner were in the audience about 3 feet away from a guy as he was doing the thing where they lift giant boulders onto platforms. And he was on the heaviest of the boulders when it fell on his bent knee and smashed it completely. I will never forget the sound of that crunch, followed by the guy's blood-curdling screams. And one more. The sound of tornado sirens in the middle of the night, right before my house nearly got struck by a tornado.
Man, they're right. Somebody, even if you witness the accident, and I brought this up before, but my dad and I was super young, lived in Colorado, but we're at, I don't know if it's like an air show, whatever, but there's a guy in a hang glider, and he's doing his thing, and he was a good distance off, but there's this big-ass radio tower. And he kept circling around it, which we thought was part of the show. Eventually, he did hit it, and this thing just collapsed and dropped to the ground. But the thing I remember most vividly, and the reason everyone started, because there's other stuff going on, but people started paying attention to him because he was screaming so loud. So I guess he realized he's in some kind of wind vortex, whatever. He just could not get away from the tower. And like a whirlpool, every time he went around it, he got a little bit closer.
Right.
You know, but again, initially, we thought, oh, that's a pretty cool trick. And then when you realize that sound of screaming you're hearing is coming from this guy, you're like, oh, my God. So everybody's watching. I think I was 8 years old when this happened, man. And not that it's funny, but this guy, he hits the tower. Screaming abruptly comes to a stop. We didn't actually see him hit the ground because I can't see over people. But, you know, you just saw the hang glider drop. And I just remember my dad grabs my hand and goes, okay, we're going to go home. I just remember that vividly.
Kids.
Yep. All right, let's go.
Good or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Roy. Welcome to the men's room.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hola.
No tengo miedo, cabrón.
No idea what you said, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, okay. Story goes back a lot of years. I'm an old guy. Back in the late 60s and all the way up into the mid-80s, there was a speedway bike racing down at Costa Mesa Fairgrounds, the Orange County Fairgrounds.
Okay.
And we would go there every Friday night, watch the races, and the cheer there was more beer. And everybody chanted. Larry Huffman was the announcer. He has an unusual voice pattern, and he really got the crowds going. It was just tons of fun.
So that was a good memory from growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Just the guy's voice or just the excitement that the guy generated in the crowd?
Both.
Okay.
He has a really good voice, and the excitement in the crowd was unbelievable.
Yeah. Look, man, there's plenty of, like, sporting event-wise, just for me personally, running out onto the field of a football game in college, the band was already out on the field, so they would do the pre-show, but they would form a tunnel. And you basically would run through that tunnel, out of a tunnel, into the crowd, and then through the band, who's like the horns are just blaring at you, the fight song.
Yeah.
And the place is going nuts. And just the high you feel running out of that tunnel onto a football field with 67,000 people on their feet losing their S, and then the band is blowing up, man. Like they hit the crescendo of the song when you run through the tunnel. By the time that you get to the sidelines, you want to effing kill somebody.
Right.
I mean, I'm a punter. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Let's murder these.
You're giving the pregame speech as the punter.
Yeah.
Where's that tee at? I need to hold for the kicker.
Well, think about it, man. If you go play in a pickup game of basketball, right, with your friends, even right before that game starts, you kind of get that feeling, like,
sure,
oh, we're about to go. Then you add on to it, you guys are all in the prime, right? You're 20 years old, and you're right. People are going nuts and everything. Like, yeah, I mean, that's I showed you SC now for $1,800. You can run out with them, but like,
that's worth every penny.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people like talk about and stuff when they're done with football, especially when you play on like college, like you did. Like, you're just not going to equal that in any other form of life.
And here's the sad but true part of it. They had to so they made us hold up. Okay, so the cheerleaders would fly out first,
of course.
But there was so much adrenaline from dudes who ran 4.5s that there was a cheerleader who basically had her ankle broken because one of the players ran over her because you're so fired up to run out. So Coach Nealon would hold everybody back and let the cheerleaders get like 15 yards, 20 yards in front of us. Then everybody could go.
Did you see that?
Because he didn't want to hurt another cheerleader.
Did you see the duck got ran over last week?
No.
See, he just wasn't far out in front of the team enough. And one of the players is just fast. And he's looking up at the crowd kind of like, yeah.
I'm
just
the duck.
Right. Just same thing. He just caught up to the duck and ran him over.
Did his head stay on?
No.
Oh,
it popped off.
So you got to see who it was.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to tell.
Yeah, you're not supposed to
tell. Oh, God, no. I mean, you'd rather...
Even if you're a fraternity brother, you cannot tell anybody in the fraternity that you are, in fact, the duck. I'm sure a couple people know, but that's it.
That's incredibly embarrassing for a mascot. That's like the golden rule. Don't lose your hat.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then you could tell anybody you're a mascot. They'd have to believe you.
That's true. Actually, I do know a woman who auditioned to be the Oregon Duck. She did not get the gig, but she explained it. You know, like, she did gymnastics, all this crap. You have to be athletic. So they don't put you in full gear, but you got to wear the shoes. And the way they do it, at least at Oregon, I don't know if it's everywhere, but it's like auditioning for a play. There's like 4 or 5 people sitting there, all right? And they're dead serious. You know, they're not even like sports fans. They are specifically there for you to audition to be the mascot. So they look all serious. You're in a theater, and she's like, it's crazy. But she goes out there, and she starts doing a routine for these people. And she's like, you know, I've been practicing this thing. But she trips over her feet, okay? Falls down. The problem is she landed on her back, and because the feet were so big, she could not get up. So now she's like rolling back and forth on stage. And she's like, they're just like, next. I mean, that was it.
And there's got to be, like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, you got Harry the Husky, right?
All right.
There's got to be like 3 people that are Harry.
You think?
I just can't imagine one kid goes to all the basketball games and like.
Are they showing up at the baseball games too?
I didn't see Harry at the game I went to.
Okay.
I don't know how you pick and choose the sports. I feel like basketball, football. Yeah, volleyball, I would think they got to be there.
Do you think each person, if there's more than one, think they're assigned to the sports? Like, Ted, you are football Harry. Miles, you are basketball Harry. Thrill, you're stuck with volleyball, but go be Harry.
I think they got to, like, switch it out, right? Like, let's say all 3 of us are Harry.
All right.
Right? Like, we each get, like, 2 football games a year. You got to go do some volleyball.
Do you think one mascot does the entire game? Because college mascots, man, they're rolling. You know what I mean? More like, more than professional sports, they're constantly doing crap, being thrown around. I mean, at some point, so you're hot.
Yeah.
You are exhausted because they're super athletic. I would think, like, you got to tag out, man. I'm like, I mean, I might be wrong. I don't know.
I mean, have you seen the Cougar at BYU? That guy's unbelievable. Seriously. He's like a real gymnast, and he's, like, jumping through hoops of fire and stuff.
Damn. I wouldn't do that in a mascot outfit, man.
I wouldn't do that, period.
Yeah.
Well, Squatch did it like her. Remember all the dunks and stuff?
He was a great mascot.
Good or bad, what is a sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Byron. Welcome to the men's room.
But could he beat a bear?
Hello, Byron.
Hola. Hey, it's Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Brian, welcome to the program.
What's going on, gentlemen? I use that term loosely.
Thank you.
Train crossing, when the trains go down the track and you hear that clackety thing.
Yeah.
Way back in 78, we used to go down to Steilacoom to the docks down there, and we'd walk about a half a mile. There was a big bend where the freight trains would have to slow down to make the turn. And needless to say, we partaked in a little smoke and drink, and we would jump the freight trains, ride them to Tacoma, and then hitchhike back. Well, one night, my friend Eddie Ice, he slipped and fell, and the train ran over his leg.
Oh!
Yes. Took his, below the knee, took it off. And I took my belt off, made a tourniquet, and I had to run like a half a mile back because no cell phones back in that day, and call for an ambulance and go running back there. That was the longest 45 minutes of my life, you know, I just watching him in agony. And we had to wait for like 20 cars to pass by before we could get the rest of his leg out. And but to this day, anytime I sit at the railroad crossing and I hear that,
you think of the Iceman and his missing leg.
Chills run up my spine. Yes. Oh.
Well, you know.
What did his leg sound like when it was disconnected from his body?
Well, I was actually a couple of cars up. I, you know, jumped on the ladder and hung on, and then I had to jump off. And, you know, it was gravel and everything. I suffered a bunch of scrapes and bruises, but
your buddy lost his leg. I mean, come on.
Just go to the
nothing, you know.
Go to the Stillicum pub and have a beer after that.
I think I had to wait 20 cars to get his leg.
Right.
Hang on, Eddie. Eddie, I just hold on.
I can see it under there.
God,
good
damn.
Or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
I mean, I didn't want to ask him, but like, why are you hanging out by the train tracks?
He sounded like a guy that hangs out by train tracks.
Hey, every time down there. Still comes a quiet town. Not a lot going on.
Here's one from the text.
Is that the local entertainment, though?
I guess.
I'm going to watch trains. Yeah.
78. This is one from the text, and this disturbs me. It just says, the worst sound was when my best friend was having an episiotomy. The crunch sound, I will never forget.
Now, was that when the tube goes into the back of the spinal cord?
No, an episiotomy.
Oh, an episiotomy is when you cut from the
vagina to the anus, right?
Yes. It's
typically for childbirth.
Right. I'm thinking of an epidural.
But why was there a crunching sound?
Tailbone, maybe?
But they're cutting from the vagina to the anus.
I know.
And I'm like, a crunch? I mean, look, I don't know. I have not been a part of an episiotomy. I truly do not want to be. I thought it would be like a wet cutting sound, which is pretty awful.
Like, I'm not a woman, but I'd be like, Doc, if it's going to tear, just let it tear. I'd rather it just happen and risk it. I think I can do this instead of you going ahead and cut it. Basically, what you're saying.
But you're saying this, but my stands to reason, just knowing human nature, the reason they do it is because one woman said that once. And after that, they were like, hey, we're going to do you a solid.
Yeah, last you want is one instead of two parts. Good or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Franco. Welcome to the men's room.
Good day, Baltimore.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so I was on deployment in Rota, Spain. And we were playing football. And I jumped up to the ball with another guy. And he must have rolled over my ankle. And I heard both bones break in my ankle.
Ah.
Pop, pop.
How loud was it?
It was loud. I'd never heard anything like it before or since. And it, you know, the adrenaline, and of course we were drunk. I didn't feel any pain. I remember laying on the ground and I heard that pop and I thought, God, I hope that wasn't me.
And then you found out it was.
Laying on my back. It was. I was laying on my back, and I picked my feet up, and my left foot was 90 degrees to the left.
Ooh. How long did that take to heal?
I think I walked about 3 months, and then I was able to run my mile and a half, maybe 6, 7, 8 months, something like that.
All right. So that's pretty traumatic. Sometimes the break is better than the sprain, but not when you break two places in a year. Pop, no. Pop.
You just don't want to hear it, man. You know, that thing ends up haunting you.
Yeah. Well, Ted, you're going to relate to this one.
I mean, when I've dislocated my knee a few times.
Yeah.
But the first couple times I did it, it definitely is loud.
Sure.
Like you could like if it happened out there, you could hear it in here.
Yeah. If anybody's played baseball or softball, you can relate to the story. When I was playing baseball, I was a catcher. My junior year of high school, we were having an intra-squad game, and I made a snap throw to first base to pick a runner off. Now, I had a pretty good arm because I also pitched along with being a catcher. When I pitched, I was mid-80s.
Damn, okay.
I threw the ball off my knees. The first baseman was not paying attention, and my throw caught the base runner square in the face.
Ooh.
Oh! The noise was like hitting a watermelon with a sledgehammer. Just a dull, wet thud right on the side of the face and the nose. He dropped and didn't wake up for two more minutes.
Damn. Dude, you remember when we did that foul balls baseball game up at Everett at the Aqua Sox Stadium?
Toppy?
No. Oh. The guy that was pitching for them, they were like, oh, we're going to do live pitching. And to Miles' credit, Miles said for 2 months or 2 weeks leading up to it, he's like, we need an L screen.
Right.
So we had recruited some good baseball players like Lawyer Malloy, who played on our team. But people forget, he played at UW, not just football, but baseball. Like, I don't know if he played in the pros, but yeah, he just turned on one. And it caught that dude in the head, and that sound, I mean, it just was it's unbelievable.
It's kind of coconut-ish, but it's kind of. There's a hollowness to the hardness. There's a ring, and, you know, like, instead of, there's a bing, there's resonance.
But it's skull.
There's resonance on the sound. Like, it comes off in waves. Like, it takes, like, 2 or 3 seconds for the sound.
And that ball, like, rolled almost back to the catcher. Also, shout out to Lawyer Malloy. I ran into him down in Houston last year. He paid that dude's, took care of all his medical bills.
Did you ask him?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I was at that game where you killed that guy. Did you even pick up the medical bills or what,
I didn't ask. I just said, hey, like, I don't know.
That's a weird flex. How you doing?
We played sports together once. Then he's like, dude, like I paid the bill. Like, I went and visited him. Like, the guy's fine now, but like. Yeah. Yeah, and like he said the same thing. He's like, why didn't we have an L screen? I'm like, look, the guy that got and ran the foul balls wasn't the biggest on follow-through.
Sure.
You know what, Miles? I didn't think about that's a weird thing to bring up to him. I just wanted him.
Oh, you're the dude who killed the guy at the charity game.
There's just all these athletes. I was like, I got something to say to Lawyer.
What a great player you are.
Jesus. You're right.
Oh, I remember that. Do you remember that sound?
Well, not only that, my friends are looking at me, and they come back over, and they're like, how do you know Lawyer Malloy? And I tell them the story, and they're like, yeah, it seemed like he knew you. And they're like, why didn't you say hi to, and I forget, there's like two other like former pros, but right. I was just like, hey, Lawyer.
Steve Largent.
Right. Basically.
Walter Jones.
Right.
Good or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
803 Rock.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. This time around, Danny V from the Daily Mix Morning Show.
Yes, indeed.
Giving a shot at Ted versus the FCC as they lost their fantasy football game last weekend in very bad fashion. So Danny V coming in. We'll do Ted versus the FCC coming up at 4:38, right after emails from the men's room at KISW.com. In the meantime, our question, good or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? Believe it or not, there are good sounds, there are bad sounds. Some of the most hated sounds include an electric drill for some people.
That doesn't bug me.
A baby crying.
Yes.
A baby crying doesn't seem to bother you if it's your baby.
It's different.
It's annoying.
And it depends how they're crying, because there's a crying where they're just crying, and then there's a crying where they're kind of screeching.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the point that everyone starts getting driven crazy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Says a female scream, but I'll take the I'll say that between the ages of 4 and 6 years old on any young girl.
Oh, my God.
Wow, they can hit a note that'll just absolutely stop you.
I mean, tracks. Like, we always talk about, right, but just that, you know, like, those tween girls at, like, a concert or...
Women so shrill.
Yeah, I mean, like, they can't help it. It's just the sound, but it's right. Awful.
I was telling Miles a couple of years ago, the school they go to does a father-daughter dance, no big deal. And my daughter's younger at that point, but we've done most of the dance. So now most of the fathers are huddled together drinking beer. The girls are out there just doing their dance. I don't recognize the very beginning of the song they put on, but they put the song on. And it is, it's like when the Beatles took the stage for Ed Sullivan, and there's just this one super high-pitched squeal of delight, but it kind of makes your skin crawl. And it was Let It Go from frickin' Frozen. But I cannot explain what that song seemed to mean to this group of girls. But, man, the sound that came out of their mouths all at once, it was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know what I mean? And we, like, every father, we would just pause, like, we thought something had happened, like something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Then we realized, oh, it's Let It Go, and they really, really, really like this song. But I remember that vividly.
I do not want to throw a certain family member under the bus, but she, when she eats, it's not that she chews with her mouth open. When she takes her fork and she drags her teeth, you can hear her teeth.
Scrapes it on the fork.
Hit the fork, and then you hear her teeth drag as she pulls the fork out of her mouth. Like, I don't do that. I think I gum it, or I just tongue it.
Yeah,
but I mean, don't teeth.
You take the teeth, or you take you know the food mean? Off of the fork.
I don't know how I don't know how I do it, but I know I don't use my teeth.
I don't put my teeth on the, that sound used to just like, I got, Good or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
You know what? This is personal because my mom, but I can't stand it when I'm on the phone and, like, somebody puts something in their mouth.
Right, it's right.
Now, listen, if, like, say, like, I have one buddy, sometimes we'll call each other and be on the phone for, like, an hour during, like, a Seahawks game, fine, you're going to eat. But, like, yeah, if I'm talking to you for, like, 3 minutes and you're just putting food in your mouth, like, I mean, I've done it on the air. Did you just put something in your mouth? Spit it out.
Yeah, just please. Stop. My, there's people that chew with their mouth open. My Uncle Eddie does not chew with his mouth open, but he grunts when he, it doesn't matter what he eats.
Mm. Does he do that or
not
does he grunt?
That, it's more like, right, so it's like every chew.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, it's just what
does it matter?
Does.
What does it matter?
No, what it doesn't matter. He can not like it. It's just that's how he chews, man. But it's every.
Is this one of the Houston guys?
No, this is actually a Virginia guy. And Houston, they don't talk when they eat.
Does he know he does it?
No, he has no idea.
Yeah, most people, they don't know those ticks.
No, ever since I was a little kid, he would always do it. And he kind of got used to it, right? But when I wasn't so little, I did not see him as often. So you go back to visit 4 years later, and just the memory came crashing back. You know, you're there at Thanksgiving, and people are talking, but you just hear him. Like it's a workout, or he's having sex with his own mouth or something. You know what I mean? And it's... Then it really started hitting me. And then, you know, once you notice something that you don't want to notice, you can't stop noticing it.
Correct.
So I'm like, just tune them out. And by telling myself to tune them out, I'm now listening acutely. It's like, what? And remember, what are you going to say to them? You know, like, you've been doing this your whole life. But like, dude, stop. Please. Jesus.
Good or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jim. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I got a bad sound.
Okay.
When I was younger, I worked at a ranch in Colorado for a couple summers, and we would we had a pen of steers that we would ride steers on Saturdays, and my buddy was riding one. I was working the gate, and we had some people running around cheering, so they didn't get to hear it, but he got bucked off, and the steer turned and put its hoof right into his head.
Ooh.
And fractured his skull. It sounded like a baseball bat breaking a board, and he rolled over, put his arm up right away, and he was broken.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Is he still the same person he was before that happened?
Yeah, actually, he ended up probably better. He ended up flying around with the Air Force for a long time after that.
So you never know. Sometimes, like, he might sit up and just start speaking French. You know, I mean, sometimes when you get a...
No, he wasn't sitting up for a while. He was kind of frothing at the mouth. His brain swelled, and they had to airlift him out and drill a hole in his brain.
What did his face look like after the fact? I mean, did he heal up perfectly, or can you tell something happened?
He's got a hoof-shaped scar.
Oh, he does.
For real. I mean,
that's kind of crazy. I don't know why I'm still like, I asked him when he called in. I said, this guy live? He goes, yeah. And I go, all right. Because it's just wild. I just like.
So when you say a hoof-shaped scar, like the size of the bull's hoof?
It wasn't a big bull, you know, these steers. It's about the size of your palm, basically.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Did that stop you from doing that as a as recreation?
That's the only place I would have ever done that.
I mean, even if he was wearing, I mean, I guess a helmet would have helped a little.
Would help, sure.
But that's not like a motorcycle helmet. Those helmets seem like, I don't know, more like a hockey helmet.
So that's exactly. I think they wear hockey helmets in the pro bowl.
Is that right?
Pro bull riding.
Okay.
Oh, do they now?
Yeah. They just kind of have that
and they have the cage on. Yeah. They look like college hockey helmets.
Yeah. Wait a minute. The riders?
Yes.
Yeah. Correct.
I did not realize that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The clowns are still out there just in barrels.
Maybe you guys should put on. The bull has already worked the hell up. It's already thrown the guy off his back, and now you're there to kind of. I know. Well, we're here to distract the bull by irritating it more. I'd be in a suit of freaking armor if that were my gig.
I'm just telling you, if you've ever been like me and been like, well, I wonder if I could ride a bull, go see bull riding in person. I mean, they are massive.
Yeah.
And no frightening.
Thanks. No thanks. Plus, you don't have any Wrangler jeans. Good or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
I'm glad a text just came in. It says, my mom and her dad, they make those same weird grunting noises when they eat. Drives me insane.
My mom used to hum. Mm.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, she's meditating when she eats?
I don't know.
That's such a weird thing.
I don't think she knew.
No, there's no way you know you're doing that.
I like,
does she still do it? Like what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Not all the time.
But doesn't matter what she's eating.
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, Candy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I heard about a guy who was looking for a roommate. I was looking to be a roommate, and he just for taxes. He didn't care if it was male or female. He had a mini farm with goats and horses and other animals, and it was like right up my alley. So I went and interviewed. He was very sweet. He was gay, and he was a Buddhist. He was the sweetest guy you ever met in your life.
As all gay Buddhists are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. So I thought I'm safe that way, and I was that way. But after about a month, all of a sudden he never mentioned this, but he was taking medication, I believe, and I think it was for schizophrenia.
Okay.
And I think he went off of his medication, and he started to act a little strange. And I thought, oh, boy, my red flags were up and everything. And then one night I came home about midnight. He had been going into his room and kind of locking his door and staying in there. He didn't come out much. So I came home about midnight. It was about 30 degrees outside with thick, thick fog. And his room light was on, so I assumed he was in there. And something, a nudge, made me go out the front door. And I just stood on the porch for a minute. And all of a sudden, I heard this animal-like moaning. It was horrible. It was like in a ghost story, you know. And I'm like, what is that? And I walked over to the fence, and there he was. He had had some kind of a break from sanity. He busted out his own window. And he crawled out there and dropped over the fence into the ditch. He was wearing nothing but boxer shorts. And I don't know how long he'd been out there, but he was like semi-conscious. And when I touched him, he was like a frozen steak. And he couldn't move. I couldn't move him. And so I called 911, and they hustled him off and took him to, you know, the psych ward. And the cop asked me, who are you? I said, I'm his soon-to-be moving roommate. Yeah, and so I got, before he got out of that hospital, I was packed and gone, but that sound he made was, it was horrible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a little odd.
That is odd.
Okay. I'll tell you one of the odder sounds I've heard, and stupid, and the sound's ridiculous. Christmas party at a restaurant I'm working at. Anyway, there was a latex vagina made an appearance. It was just kind of a funny ha-ha thing, whatever, but as everyone's getting drunk, people start throwing it at each other, right? Just kind of ambush each other, and you hit them with the latex vagina. So they weren't aiming at me. They're aiming at someone else. But one of my coworkers, they throw this latex vagina, and my boss's wife, smoke show, nuttier than a squirrel turd, but she had literally just stepped through the doorway, and this thing connected with her cheek. And I know it sounds dumb, but the sound of that, it was just the perfect shot. And I don't know why it's so vivid in my mind. I just remember seeing it, and it just kind of a little bit of a when it hit her. Like you want to be adhesive, but you're not. And I remember it stuck there for like a second. and then
like
fell
a
off.
Wacky wall crawler.
Yeah, it was kind of like that, right? Like it just,
But I was like, that's kind of what that oyster sounded like when it hit me in the eye in New Orleans. I was like, yeah.
Just started, and I was like, ah, oh, now my eyes all salty. Started swelling up, like, oh no.
Did you make the guy do it though?
I was like, dude, toss me one. I'll catch him in my mouth.
Yeah.
The way I remember the story, I wasn't there. So the guy was like, no. Like,
yeah, he
like,
was no.
Right, he kind of gave a little more heat.
Yeah.
It wasn't like an easy toss.
No, it wasn't like a rainbow.
First of all,
it was more like a slider. Or a
as somebody
fastball.
That likes to catch stuff in their mouth, like oyster just seems like a hard grab.
Well,
because there's a lot of additional moisture. Should you
the
miss.
Oysters in New Orleans a little bit bigger. I thought I had a shot at it, but apparently not. I do remember, speaking of work, and I've told the story before, but the Christmas party we had at the Visionary Arts Museum in Baltimore, they had a guy on there who was, he had been in jail, and he did toothpick art.
Yeah.
So he had done replications of, like, the Titanic. It was impressive.
It was remarkable stuff.
His entire display was like, I cannot believe this guy did each and every one of these things, because none of them were similar. They were all different styles of things, all done with toothpicks. One of the things he did was a Lazy Boy, basically sized toothpick chair. It was more mid-century looking.
Sure.
It wasn't a Lazy Boy, but you get the idea. Kind of looked like, you know. Anyway, like you put in a Wright home. You know, like that look to it. And this girl named Casey, who was of larger carriage, I will say, as a lot of people are on the East Coast, she was a sizable woman.
Mighty Casey.
If you want to
feel skinny, no matter what,
just go to Philly or Baltimore.
You'll feel good about
for
yourself.
A day. Walk around and be like, you know, man, I'm all right.
Atlanta. Anyway, so
don't forget about you, Atlanta.
I got you.
Shout out to the 37.
I got you,
Cleveland. But anyway, so she
Houston.
She sits in this chair, and I mean, this thing.
You ever been to a cookout?
Okay, so this thing has got a plaque.
Never not been.
There is a plaque below where she's sitting down that describes how long this piece took. The number of toothpicks involved, which I wish to God I would have read.
Keep in mind, this guy,
because every display had the same information.
He had to collect the toothpicks from other inmates. So when other inmates realized what he was doing, they'd give it to him. The guy did not use glue. Just a little background on this guy.
He chewed everything.
Literally, he chewed the toothpicks into shape. And it sounds ridiculous, but if you saw what the guy did, you just you wouldn't believe
all the
it.
Curves in the mold. Whatever.
What was he in for?
I
don't know.
I'm stealing toothpicks. But so she's pretty.
I'm going to say multiple murders.
She's pretty.
That's very specific.
Just know this. This was the largest thing other than the Titanic that was on display. And it is a chair, and it does look like you can sit in it, although it's on a platform.
And it's in a museum.
And there is a placard in front of it. Blah, 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 blah. Casey's hammered. She sits down in this chair, and the sound of thousands of toothpicks shattering. It sounded like glass breaking. I can't, but tinglier.
Right.
Tinnier. I can't really. It was just, as soon as you heard it, you went, oh no, somebody broke something. But it was just, yes, but it was wood.
Yeah.
So it was like ting, 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 like, you know, like more like a wooden wood chime. They just have a different sound to them than a metal one.
Yeah.
Kind of had that sound to it, man. And then she's on her back trying to pick herself up. And, I mean, there was not one.
On her back.
There was not one discernible piece of that,
it's like
of that chair.
Giant turtle.
Like, when she spread her arms, she broke the armrest. When she went back, she broke the back. She'd already broken the seat through. All the legs are gone. Like, there was nothing you could pick up and go, this is the leg of the chair.
Right, it's just toothpicks.
Nothing but thousands of toothpicks all over the ground. And her... Granted, she saved her drink.
Of course she did.
I will give her that. Whatever the mixed drink was, it was in a glass. She did not break that. She was still holding up. And when she sat up, she was kind of like proud of herself. And then she looked and saw what she did. And she was just like, oh, my God.
Did you laugh?
Oh, man. I mean, come on. You know me. I mean, I about lost it. I mean,
you pointing?
I was not in trouble. You know how like sometimes right. You could. I don't think she was ultimately either. I don't know if we ever had to pay for that or whatever. I don't know if Clear Channel paid for it or whatever the deal was. But
man, you're good. Thurl said, "Did you point and laugh?" And you said, "I was not in trouble." So you did.
Hey, Casey, come on.
I didn't know. She kept saying, like, how could you not know? I didn't know. I thought it was a chair. It is a chair on display.
Made out of toothpicks.
Made out of toothpicks. Well, I thought, oh, don't even talk about it. Good or bad, what's the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Sue. Welcome to the men's room.
Well, hello there.
Hola.
Hola. I'm calling because I used to work at a police department, and we would watch prisoners in the cells. And the cops would bring them in, and if they had a juvenile who'd never been in jail before, they'd take them down, and we had one officer would have them walk all the way down to the end, get into that cell, grab a hold of that door, and slam it as hard as he could. And he would tell the kid, now, do you want to hear that for the rest of your life? Well, those of us who are up there taking care of business, we're hearing it too. So it'll be something that most people don't hear unless you go to jail. So
you're not wrong,
right? I would have to think that the sound of a cell door closing is probably one you'll remember.
Well, there's two ways, man. I mean, I only did the one night in jail, but I remember when they put me in and I heard it close. There's just such a finality to it. Like, you can be angry, you can be anything you want. Like, I am here. Like, and there's nothing I can do about it. The next morning, when they got my ass out of there and I heard it close behind me, you're like, thank God, man.
Right.
I mean, very different reactions. But no, you're not wrong, man. Hearing the jail.
It's awful.
It really is.
It really, you're right. It sinks home, especially that first night. Like, this is real.
This is my reality,
I'm
man.
I'm here.
Yep.
Good or bad, what is the sound that will always be stuck in your brain? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola.
So, Mike, what sound will you always remember?
Back in 2000, I was a semi-pro professional downhill mountain biker, and we had a really, really tough course in Sandpoint, Idaho, up at Schweitzer Mountain Resort. And at about 50, 55 miles an hour, I hear a gunshot. Was actually my $10,000 carbon fiber downhill bike breaking in half and the front wheel flying over my head.
Oh, while you were riding it.
And while I was riding it. Then the second sound I heard was the helicopter lifting off, evacuating me to Spokane, Washington.
Oh, wow.
Damn. How much damage did you do to yourself?
Just some abrasion, bruises, but they cut off my downhill jersey because they thought I was bleeding. And it happened to be that I ended up coming to rest in a pile of huckleberries.
Of course.
All right.
They thought the smashed huckleberries were blood.
Yeah, of course.
But no real serious damage to you.
Just my ego and my bike.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You know what, man? Went up to Whistler one time in the summer. So obviously it's mountain bikers coming down those slopes, and they are just as treacherous as a ski, you know, slope. It's the same slope. It's just in the middle of the summer, and they have all these planks that come around as far as, like, you know, so you go around a turn, but it's really a wooden walkway.
Yeah.
That just so you can bank into it because you're going so fast, and then you take that and it shoots over a ramp. You know, and then you land on another pile of dirt, and this whole thing continues in switchbacks all the way down the mountain.
Nope.
And watching those guys do that, I'm like, man, that looks 10 times more dangerous than skiing could ever be.
Sure.
You know, just as far
as... It's wild.
It is crazy to watch those guys do it. And they go down in their Fox gear like they don't care. They got the shoulder pads on, helmet, maybe some elbow pads. That's about it. Nothing else. Gloves.
Yeah, they're living, having a time of their life.
Yeah. Coming up, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC, and we've got your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.